Are we all here yet? Hello. We're basically here yet. At least the bases are here. There's been a plague at the ladies, it appears. However, if you'd all stand, please. Now that one. You can do it on ah. And we do it not too fast because I don't want to remember? Real smooth as far as your volume level, but clear on every pitch. Ready? You may be seated.
Bass is in the F.
And they just go down an octave and they pass out. Now, did everybody do your assignment? Oh, bless your hearts. That's I haven't sung this morning yet, so my examples may be funny. But let's run through this very quickly. Oh, let's find another key. Ready? Too low altos? Is that too low basses? How about sopranos? Is that too low for you? That's kind of low. I choose to believe. Nothing. Can you get down there? You like it? They can tell it's Friday. Sir? Excusez-moi? E. Of course not.
Everybody is.
You mean after impossible, you mean?
Mm-hmm. No,
impossible. Yeah. Nothing shall be impossible with God. You know why that happened to me? I let out all my air on Nothing Shall. Nothing shall be impossible with God. So I... See, just don't let all your out like I did. I know why I did that too. In fact, you could hear when I finally came into focus. Did you hear it? Maybe you didn't hear it. I could tell right away when I came into focus because it was about a measure too late and all my air was gone. Take it one more time, then we'll work the vowels. One, two, three. The tenors and the basses sing it, less Greg. Greg, your E's and your ears are real thin yet. But I just want to hear that because I still have very thin E's in the soprano. And I want to see if we can get you to blend with them. Okay? A lot of fog outside. It feels like Coos Bay. So I need to wear a short sleeve. Just, I mean, you know, a wet slime in the face, just like home. My parents have moved from that town, and I'll never go back. Unless God sends me in there. I'm praying diligently that he doesn't. I mean, it fogs so much that it rips the paint off of the houses. I'm not kidding. This is the lower portion. One, two, three. No Greg. Bass. Daryl. Drop your tongue. Drop what you want. You swallow it. You're going. Give me a... That's probably it, huh? Less Greg. One, two, three. Oh, I know. We need to find the E major chord. One, two, three. Come on back in, Greg, but I want you to work very hard at attempting to blend your voice exactly with Brad's and Tom's behind you. Very difficult. Your voices are radically different, but give it a try. It's excellent training. Ready? What is it, pitch? I'm sorry, I shouldn't make fun. Thank you. be listening to yourself in a nice enclosed environment. What? Or if you ever fly, you know, if you're flying off that level, go downstairs. Take a mirror. And someone wonder what the noise is doing coming up in the alley. The sound was a woman going, Marion? A lot of people are going to check into the alto section, I know. Let's try this again. And sopranos, that was improved last time. Well, let's work for it, especially those that I pointed out need more support, etc. Try to support it more. Try for a darker, rounder sound. Excuse me. Adrian, I think you could also work on the arched, the palate, tip palate idea, too. A little more of that. From the top.
1, 2, 3.
With vowels. When I was in college, that was many years ago, when I was a boy, I still feel 16. It's a real problem I have. I can't grow up. We sang a song called Sunset Over Skye, S-K-Y-E, which is an island off of the coast of Scotland. And this piece of music was all ahs, oohs, and hums. That's all it was. And it was impressionism. It was designed to create the sensation of the painting or a being standing on the coastline of a craggy, rocky, rugged sky watching the sunset into the eastern Atlantic. And, which is obviously a terribly thrilling experience. From Scotland, you're looking west onto the eastern Atlantic. I mean, the sun is plopping under Toronto. And so we had to be extremely expressive with just ooze, ahs, and hums. So it can be done. Now, you know, in the back of your mind, in the deep recesses of your heart, the message of the song besides, right? And so you can take the message and express the message that appears in the music. So you can take a piano solo, orchestral work, and make it express the heart of the message without ever keeping the word. So express with just the vowels, because that is what you express on anyway. You don't express on consonants. You express. I mean, as far as develop tone development, phrase development, that sort of thing. Consonants all they do is begin in words. Sometimes you use them for certain kinds of accents. But the bulk of your expression is via the consonants or the vowels. So learn to express with the vowels, feeling the flow of the music, and then just add the consonants and it becomes quite easy. Right?
Right.
You have to say right because I am right.
1, 2, 3.
Take it again.
People are expressing it still tight, Rattle.
But nothing shall be. One, two, three. Now, can you maintain that same vowel shape, thinking the vowels as you add the consonants? One, two, three. And be more expressive. Hello, E major. One, two, three. Lazy. One, two, three.
I choose to be. I choose.
Sopranos, take that.
Let me say this about that, to quote a famous political personality. Adequate preparedness to express a piece of anointed music means this: the individual musician has already obtained a heart to preach the Word of God in song. That means that you'll preach it anytime, every time. And that you'll preach it. That you will be self-abandoned, and then you'll pour your life and heart and guts and soul and energy, pardon my crudeness, but that's the truth, into what you're singing every time you sing it. Without that, every tool of expression is basically meaningless. Crescendo, diminuendo, accent, sforzando, breathing, being awake in the morning. All of these things are basically meaningless if you're not determined to preach the message. Now, some of you are, and some of you think you are. And there is a vast difference. The same thing applies to music ministry, though most people in music ministry who are ministering on the platform do, for the most part, really preach the message from their heart. But you've got to determine that this thing is in your heart, and you're going to preach it. You're going to get as involved with the message as I get up here during my gyrations. You've got to be that involved. Otherwise, you are not prepared. And you won't express. You won't have anything to express. Because we're not in the habit of creating theatrics. We're not developing music expression for the sake of music. We have a whole other premise that we're coming from. We're doing something entirely different than the general college choir does. They're making music and they learn how to express it based on traditional or sometimes non-traditional expressive methods. And you don't. I mean, you haven't been taught how to do that. You wouldn't know how to do that unless you've had previous experience in secular singing groups or whatever. Or even in some church choirs, especially traditional church choirs, where they just sing to make beautiful music. We don't do that. So you don't have that advantage of knowing how to make beautiful music anyway. And you're not simply getting inspired for a conductor, because we don't have that as a premise either. But you're supposedly being inspired by the truth of God's Word and your determination to preach God's Word. That's what we're doing. So there is a point of preparedness that, you know, we can say, well, this is an educational class. We're trying to learn, you know, the nuts and bolts of choral ministry so we can go out and make it happen, right? But you're learning the nuts and bolts of choral ministry by hands-on experience. That is, actually becoming a reasonable ensemble of, what do we got, 30-some people now, 30 people. And so part of that experience means that you've got to be in a place spiritually to present the material. So each individual who desires to aspire unto an effectual minister of choral music is an individual whose heart is prepared in the closet of prayer to express the intent and the anointing. In other words, you step into this room anointed. See? You need to come to class anointed. It's just not a practical class. It's a class requiring you to be anointed. It's just like the homiletics class. In the homiletics class, we learned how to, and you do learn if you're in it, how to write a sermon, how to develop a sermon, and how to present a sermon. And that's the first semester. In the second semester, you learn by hands-on experience how to actually deliver a sermon. And you have two, I don't know if they still do it or not, but when I took it, you had two opportunities. Once in class, in front of your peers, and once in chapel. It does no good to write a sermon properly, develop your thoughts properly, have your scriptures exegetically laid out properly, etc., if your presentation is not anointed. See? And so you have to be, in homiletics class, anointed to preach. In fact, you need to be anointed to write the sermon, because it's got to be relevant. If you're going to preach, you've got to be anointed. If you're going to be anointed, you've got to have an anointed subject. So therefore, if you're preaching to your class of 20 peers, you need to find from the heart of God a message that will minister to them, because you're going to have to stand up there for 20 minutes and be anointed. Of course, for me, it was always 16 minutes because I speak too fast. But my only negative points on my sermons was my short time. I was hit too fast. But in both times, I wrote exactly a 20-minute sermon, and both times I delivered them in 16 minutes. Just like I wrote a 3-hour lecture on Satan's strategy in classical music and delivered it in 2 hours and 10 minutes. My teeth have never been the same since. But so you have to, in homiletics class, have something that's going to really meet the needs of those 20 guys. And then you've got to be anointed in your presentation. if you're not anointed, then you haven't gained the experience and learned what you need to learn in homiletics class, and your grade reflects that. Same with chapel. You need to have a heart, know the heart of God, and this you find in the closet of prayer. This you find in waiting upon the Lord with your mind, soaking up the Word of God as you're seeking Him while studying the Word. Not to study, what's a good subject, let's see, look at my Bible college notes. No. You sit with the Word and with the heart of God and are meditating and say, Lord, what do these students need? What can I, in my 20 minutes of time, in the place of experience that I'm at, in the place of development I'm at in your spirit, what can I give them that's going to eternally affect their lives? That's what you have to do. When you're in homiletics class. And then you got to stand in that pulpit and you've got to be anointed. So when you come into this class, it's the same kind of thing. You have to be anointed or you're not going to learn what you're supposed to learn. Because the whole premise of expression in this music class is that you are a transparent vessel. And the Holy Spirit picks you up as a paintbrush and begins to show His very nature through what you're singing. Now, to be that way, you've got to be emptied and you've got to be anointed. In other words, you've got to have the Holy Spirit and the power of God upon you. That doesn't mean you walk through the door vibrating. I'm not suggesting that. And tingling all over and feeling heat. But I am suggesting that you approach this class prayerfully, as you would any participation class. You should approach all your classes prayerfully, incidentally. Now, sometimes you don't have time to wait on the Lord a half hour per day per class, admittedly. However, this is a little bit different than going in and taking down, notes on the subject of hermeneutics. It's a little different, substantially different. You're, in fact, participating in an anointed preparation for an anointed ministry, so you must be anointed. If you're not anointed, you will not express. You will not break through the bondages that keep you from being able to present anointed ministry. See, when music ministry at large is anointed, rehearsals go well, irrespective of their musical difficulties. Because we can work out the musical difficulties without disturbing the anointing, and they can keep the anointing going and the flow and this sort of thing, and they will mold and they will shape into what the Holy Spirit wants. And this is important for the group you ever have. If they're not anointed in rehearsal, forget it in service. See? They must be anointed in rehearsal so they'll mold and shape into what the Lord wants. Otherwise, all you're doing is cranking out museophiles. And you don't want that. That's a new word. I just invented it. Where's the English teacher? A musotron. That's a more futuristic term. I can teach you crescendo diminuendo so that, at the right flick of my hand, you respond like Pavlov's dogs. No. That's not the way I conduct. That's not what I am as a director, and that's not what you're going to be as a director either. What you're going to be as a director, as a source of inspiration, because the Holy Spirit anoints you, and you feel the heart and intensity and what God is trying to say through a song, and you inspire them to feel the same, but as they feel it too, they can respond to what the Holy Spirit is giving you to cause them in unity to mold into one vocal entity that expresses the same thing simultaneously. Otherwise, as we all feel it, we'll all express it differently. But we all need to feel it, and then via the purpose of the conductor or via the function of the conductor in rehearsal, you come into oneness with your musical expression. Okay? And then as you feel it on the platform, you know what to do expressively, so you are unified. Because you have molded from 38 different expressions into one, and you all feel and pour the energy of the anointing that you sense into that expression. And then when you're on the platform, there's no conductor because you don't need one anymore. He served his purpose in rehearsal. That's the way we function. See, that's totally different than any other music class you'll ever find out there. At least in a music school, or even in a lot of Bible colleges. Totally different, but that's the way it works. But that means that the conductor and the conductee must be anointed. So, understand? I expect that you take this challenge. And make it work for you. Now, let's go on then with our study of vowels to I am clean before the Lord. Nice, long-noted, slow song with some E's in it for the sopranos to work on.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Late elders meeting last night.
Okay, this one goes I, A, E. Starts right off with a bang. E, O, I, O. That's the first line. Oh, I don't have another copy. Perhaps you can take these down on a separate sheet of paper and then transfer them to music that you can get from my sidekick, Bill Lawson. Yes? It's A-E. It's an I sound, which is A-E. You also, Rita, could check in Bible College office with Sandy. They might have it on file. I, A, E, E, O, I, O. For and Lord are O sounds. Second line is the same. I, A, E, E, O, I, O. Third line, O, E, It's we've never really had to deal with this before. It is ka for the blood of Jesus covers me. It is UHR, so it is an a sound. Except we don't sing it. Covers me. It's a UH sound. So it's let me get it with some sense of support on the tone. Trying to think of what there are several ways to go, and I'm going to think of what the best one's going to be for this ensemble chorally. That's the way Carole Pack would sing it.
Of Jesus cover
UHR
hers me the blood of Jesus covers me I'm before.
Like on Lord and for, you really start with an O sound and then you manipulate a little bit. But with the ER sound, it's a UHR. It's the whole vowel is UHR, whatever that means. Then E on me. And then again, I, A, E, E, O, I, O. Okay, we'll try this a couple of times, and then your assignment again is to practice this until you know it for Tuesday. Right? Put all the energy and effort into it so you have it down clean and every vowel is consistent. Right? Let's try this a couple of times. You may sit up straight. Tempo. Hold your music so you can watch. One, two. Sing that UHR, huh? For the blood of Jesus Calvary. Like that. Very subtle change from the sound. Question Denise. Mm-hmm. There is. As late as I was up last night, as lucky as even there. No, I'm kidding. Let me hear the adults sing it. One, two. For the blood. Ladies, get your sound darker and richer. One, two. For the blood. Tenor part doing. This is a real easy tenor. Let me hear it again, vowels only. One, two. I'll give you some hints on expression on this one, which you can be working on while you're studying these vowels. During the third line, obviously, that's the top of the piece, right? And the most exciting portion is the tenor line, right? The tenors have the excitement. But wait, ladies, but wait. You must emulate the same excitement, even though you don't have the same exciting part. So let's hear the tenors excitedly sing the fourth line. One, two.
For the blood of Jesus covers me.
While you're singing that, I can't hear you. I'm so loud. Did you hear how exciting I get? That's an exciting position, right? Because that's the most exciting message in the entire earth, that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. So let me hear how exciting you are, tenors. One, two. And not too bad. See if you can emulate what I do. Listen.
For the blood of Jesus covers me.
Try it. A little Carole Packish, all right? One, two. Not too bad. Now, let's add the altos to that. You're going to sing with the same excitement and fervor and all you've got. One, two. Nope, you're too singy-songy. Let me sing the alto part with the tenors, just me and the tenors. One, two.
For the blood of Jesus covers me, I am...
Ladies, pour your lives into it, okay? You're singing more... I know I was hollering, but, you know, to get the notes. You're singing more... It's more lilting. It's more moody. More contemplative. Where the tenors are bloody and they're sweaty and they've just been fighting the devil, but they know they're covered, see? They know they're righteous because, you see, that's the... But now, I know that some of you ladies are not relating. Which bell was that? I took my watch off. Okay. Oh, good. Are you ready, ladies? One, two. With the tenor. One, two. Now, basses, you have it even harder. You can try it. Alto, tenor, bass. Come on, same excitement. Let me hear just the basses and the tenors. One, two. Basses and tenors. One, two. Can't hear it. Again, by yourselves. One, two. Go! Go! Oh, it's so exciting, we're just losing the pitch. Now, bass, alto, tenor. Really? Not too bad. Bass, alto, tenor. One, two. Okay. Now, I don't mean loud. I don't mean just loud altos. I mean just poured out into it. Now let's add the soprano to it and see if we can make it happen. One, two. Not together. One, two.
Four.
Possibilities there.
From the top. One, two.
I am clean before my Lord. I am clean before my Lord. For the blood of Jesus covers me. I am clean before my Lord.
Again. Believe it. I will say this about this song. What time is it? Bill's going to ring in about 30 seconds. On Mary Ellen's tape, the song didn't come out the way I wanted it to come out. It started out even a lot more delicate than it ended up. And I had it redone to get as much as we got out of it. And as a solo, I suppose that's fine. I prefer this song very gutsy compared to contemplative, okay? And so don't cue from that tape what I'm looking for, chorally. I'm looking for something much more poured out. I don't know how else to say it. Okay, your assignment then is for Tuesday. Have it ready to go. Thank you. And who has my rule book? There it is.
The floor.
Thank you.